You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Thursday, February 25th, 2021. I want you to refine me, part 3. Eastern Canadian refineries shift to more domestic slates. Published by Martin King. Canada, like the US, is in the enviable position of having vast crude oil reserves as well as a robust domestic refining sector capable of satisfying national needs for gasoline, diesel, and other petroleum products. Refiners in both countries have also benefited in recent years from increasing oil production within their borders. Growth in the Alberta oil sands in particular has given refineries in both Western and Eastern Canada increased access to domestically sourced bitumen and upgraded synthetic crude oil. Today, we continue our series on Canada's refining sector with a look at the refineries in the eastern half of the nation and their increasing use of Canadian oil. As we discussed in part 1 of this series, development of immense conventional oil reserves and unconventional bitumen reserves from the oil sands has enabled Canada's 17 refineries to steadily reduce their dependence on imported crude from faraway sources. In fact, the U.S. is now almost the exclusive provider of Canada's remaining import needs. In part 2, we delved into the refineries in Western Canada, which are supplied entirely by in-region crude oil production. This time around, we will look more closely at refiners in the eastern half of Canada. The last time we examined this particular market was quite some time ago, Intake a Pipe on the east side, where we discussed what were then pending pipeline expansions from Western Canada into Ontario and points east and how these were going to benefit refiners in Quebec. Well, a lot has happened since then, so we need to catch up and more fully review the refineries that stretch from southern Ontario to the Atlantic provinces. Like many refineries located near major demand centers in other parts of the world, many of those in eastern Canada are sited close to some of Canada's largest cities. Having passed through their own phase of rapid expansion after World War II and eventual consolidation after the demand boom of the 1960s and 70s, the region by 2020 had settled down to a set of refineries with a combined capacity of only 1.22 million barrels per day. The capacities of the four refineries in Ontario total 402,000 barrels per day, while the two in Quebec sum to 372,000 barrels per day, and the remaining two in Atlantic Canada add up to 450,000 barrels per day, more than in Ontario with its much greater population. Note that our numbering scheme continues on from the 9 Western Canada refineries that we discussed in detail in Part 2. RBN estimates that total crude intake for Canada's eastern refineries averaged 895,000 barrels per day in 2020, for a 73% utilization rate, which is 895 divided by 1,220, down from 1.09 million barrels per day, or 89% utilization, in 2019. Lower regional product demand, lower product exports, and one refinery closure for most of 2020 explain the large year-on-year drop. We'll get to more details shortly. Let's continue our review by discussing the refineries in Ontario. In each region, we'll order the refineries from the largest to the smallest by capacity. Number 1. Imperial Oil Sarnia Refinery. Located in the industrial city of Sarnia, a refinery has been active on this site since 1897. With a capacity of 119,000 barrels per day, Imperial Sarnia Refinery is the second largest by capacity of the company's three refineries in Canada. Imperial reported 2020 average crude runs of 86,000 barrels per day for this complex, at 72% utilization, partly impacted by a refinery incident in April of that year. Number 2. Imperial Oil's Nanticoke Refinery. Completed in 1978, Imperial's 113,000 barrels per day refinery on the shores of Lake Erie averaged crude runs of 84,000 barrels per day in 2020, at 74% utilization. Refined products from the company Sarnia and Nanticoke refineries are transported on its Sarnia Products pipeline to consumers in and around the Toronto area. Number 3. Suncor Energy Sarnia Refinery. Located a few miles southwest of Imperial's refinery, Suncor's 85,000 barrels per day refinery in Sarnia runs primarily synthetic crude oil, or SCO, the upgraded form of oil sands bitumen shipped in from its operations in Alberta, as well as conventional light and heavy crude that it purchases from third parties. For 2019 and the more recent data available, refinery runs consisted of sweet SCO, 25,000 barrels per day sour SCO, 32,000 barrels per day, sweet conventional, 0.3 thousand barrels per day, and sour conventional, 21,000 barrels per day, for a total of 78,000 barrels per day, 92% utilization. Output consisted of gasoline at 47%, distillates at 39%, and other products at 14%. Number 4. Shell Canada's Corunna Refinery. Located south of Sarnia, the 85,000 barrels per day Corunna Refinery in St. Clair has been part of Shell's global operations since the early 1960s. 2019 crude runs are estimated to have been 67,000 barrels per day, or 79% utilization. Shell in January 2020 announced its intention to sell the refinery but abandoned that plan in October. The sale would have also included Shell's 45% interest in the Sun Canadian pipeline, which transports refined products from the Sarnia region eastward to Toronto. Let's now turn our attention to the two refineries in Quebec. Number 5. Valero Energy's Jean Galan Refinery. The second largest refinery in Canada by capacity, Valero's 235,000 barrels per day refinery in Lévis creates a wide slate of finished products for the Quebec and Ontario markets and for export to the US and overseas. Imported crude oil can be received via tanker down the St. Lawrence River, while crude from Western Canada and elsewhere can be received by a combination of pipeline and tanker from a loading terminal in Montreal. The refinery is an important link to downstream consumers in the Montreal area, with Valero shipping product from the refinery on its wholly owned Saint-Laurent pipeline. Number 6. Suncor Energy's Montreal Refinery. The last surviving refinery in Montreal, Suncor's 137,000 barrels per day facility is capable of receiving crude by pipeline, Enbridge Line 9, from Suncor's now wholly owned 236-mile Portland to Montreal pipeline, and by rail and tanker. Suncor reported the refinery's throughput in 2019 as 126,000 barrels per day, 92% utilization. In 2019, the crude input slate consisted primarily of conventional sweet, 89,000 barrels per day, diluted bitumen, 21,000 barrels per day, sour conventional, 8,000 barrels per day, and sweet SCO, 8,000 barrels per day. Product output share in 2019 was more balanced than in Suncor's other refineries, with gasoline and distillates each accounting for 38% and other products making up the 24% balance. Refined products can be shipped from the Montreal area into southern Ontario via the Trans-Northern Pipeline, thus providing Suncor and Valero, through its connection to the Saint-Laurent Pipeline, full access into the Ontario market. We'll conclude with the two refineries in Atlantic Canada. Number 7. Irving Oil's St. John Refinery. The largest refinery in Canada, with capacity at 320,000 barrels per day, is located in St. John, NB, and owned by privately held Irving Oil. Operating data is scant, but the refinery is geared primarily for the export of intermediate and finished products to the Quebec/Ontario markets and the U.S. and overseas markets. The refinery can receive crude from Western Canada and the U.S., primarily the Bakken, via rail and by tanker. In July 2020, a one-off cargo of 450,000 barrels of Western Canadian crude was shipped to the refinery from the Westridge Dock on Canada's west coast via the Panama Canal, a distance of 7,400 miles, or 11,900 kilometers. Irving Oil also made headlines last year when it originally agreed to acquire the North Atlantic Refinery in Newfoundland in May 2020 but cancelled the deal a few months later in October. Number 8. North Atlantic Refining's Come By Chance Refinery. The easternmost refinery in North America, located on the isthmus of Newfoundland's beautiful Avalon Peninsula, receives both Eastern Canadian offshore production and foreign-sourced crude by tanker. It is geared primarily for the export of finished products to other parts of Canada and the U.S., plus a smattering of overseas destinations. The refinery has had a tortured past, having gone bankrupt shortly after beginning operations in the 1970s, and has passed through a series of owners. It is currently owned by U.S. private investment firm, New York City-based Silver Peak, which has had the refinery for sale for more than a year. As mentioned, with Irving Oil recently terminating its purchase deal, the refinery remains for sale. Recent industry reports have suggested that another private investment fund may be interested in purchasing the refinery for conversion to renewable fuel production. The COVID-driven collapse in refined products demand meant little need for product exports and led Silver Peak to idle the 130,000 barrels per day refinery in April 2020. Aside from some of the limited details provided by the refiners for their specific sites, the type and volume of crudes being run is available by region and for most years from Statistics Canada, or StatCan. For the years in which the data is not available, we have relied on public data from the individual refiners or made estimates. Data for New Brunswick, which would capture the Irving refinery, is unavailable. For the four refiners in Ontario, crude runs averaged 345,000 barrels per day between 2010 and 2020. Conventional medium and light crude were the preferred input for a number of years at better than 200,000 barrels per day, 65% share, but have since declined in importance, hitting a decade low of 130,000 barrels per day in 2020, 42% share. That share loss has been SCO's gain. SCO's use has risen from around 60,000 barrels per day in 2010, 20% share, to near 100,000 barrels per day in 2020, 31% share. The use of conventional heavy crude has also made inroads in recent years, rising from 15,000 barrels per day in 2015, 4% share, to near 60,000 barrels per day in 2020, 18% share. The remainder has been picked up by bitumen, which has also seen increasing use the past few years. As for crude runs in Quebec, runs into Suncor's Montreal refinery have been combined with our run estimates for the Valero refinery to fill in for those years where crude runs by type are not available from StatCan. Crude runs between 2010 and 2020 have averaged 339,000 barrels per day, but there has been a stark shift in crude types over this time. Starting in 2016, the use of SCO went from near zero to nearly one-third of all crude inputs thanks to greater access for Western Canadian crudes into Quebec starting at the end of 2015, more on this in an upcoming blog. This has diminished the share of what was the traditional input of medium and light crudes and conventional heavy oil, which have fallen from near 400,000 barrels per day, 100% share, in 2010 to about 200,000 barrels per day, 60% share, as of 2018. Small amounts of bitumen have been reported, which, based on public reports, have likely all gone to Suncor's Montreal refinery. Crude use in Newfoundland is reported by StatCan, with medium and light crudes being the sole inputs to the North Atlantic refinery. StatCan does report some use of conventional heavy in 2019 and 2020. Utilization rates were better than 90% for 2017 to 2019 but have since collapsed to zero with the idling of the refinery in April 2020. In the fourth and final blog in this series on Canadian refineries and their crude slates, we'll dive even deeper into how these facilities have been shifting their crude oil sourcing in recent years and into where the refined products they produce end up. I Want You to Want Me was written by Rick Nielsen and appeared originally as the fourth song on side one of Cheap Trick's second album, In Color. Released as the first single from the album in September 1977, it failed to chart in the US. However, when the song was released as a single in Japan, it went to number one there and paved the way for CBS to release the live album Cheap Trick at Budokan in 1979 in the States. When the live version of the song from that album was released as a single in April 1979, it went to number seven on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. Personnel on the record were Robin Zander, on lead vocals and rhythm guitar, Rick Nielsen, on lead guitar and backing vocals, Tom Peterson, on bass and backing vocals, and Bunny Carlos on drums. Cheap Trick at Budokan was recorded live in Japan in April 1978. The album was produced by Cheap Trick. Released in the US in February 1979, the LP went to number 4 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 3 times platinum by the RIAA. 2 singles were released from the album. Cheap Trick are an American rock band formed in Rockford, Illinois, in 1973. 8 members have passed through the band since its inception, with Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen being in the fold from the start. The band has released 19 studio albums, 6 live albums, 17 compilation albums, 4 EPs, and 64 singles. Cheap Trick has sold more than 20 million records worldwide and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016. The band continues to record and tour, with a North American tour scheduled to begin in late April.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.